So today I'm talking to Sarah Olney. You're the Lib Dem MP for Richmond Park and North Kingston and business spokesperson for the party. So welcome back to Radio Jackie, Sarah. Can we talk about devolution? Andy Byrne was quoting devolution. He's saying his take that it's the biggest rebalancing of power that the country's ever seen. He's citing the success story behind devolution in London as a trailblazer for devolution. Let's start on what's really happening to your constituency in Richmond Park. I think we cover most of our topics based on this. So, first of all, you say Sadiq Khan's delivered nothing for Richmond Park. Let's talk about the loss of bus routes to start with.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen major changes in Barnes just over the last few weeks, which is really reducing, I think, in certain parts of Barnes, people's access to bus routes. We've seen big cuts in the 371, which goes right through my constituency from Richmond to Kingston, and that's having a really serious effect. And it serves quite a lot of different schemes in particular, and that's having a real impact on young people's ability to get to school.
So I was going to talk to you about the loss of the dedicated police in Richmond Park. I know Gareth Roberts from Richmond Council has been very concerned about the number of deer incidents, and he said it has increased without the police being there. Where do you go from here? Does
Yes, I will do. Yeah. So we're seeing with the scrapping of the Royal Parks Police, which obviously was announced last year and has now happened. We've seen so many incidents over the summer, particularly with the deer. Some of your listeners will have heard that distressing news about a deer having to be put down because it attacked a visitor to the park. And that's precisely the sort of thing that having a dedicated Royal Parks Police force was able to help manage. And I think that's the whole point. The Royal Parks Police provided a really distinctive function, and just rolling that into sort of normal neighborhood policing. And Richmond Park, don't forget, takes up a vast area, and it's all open to the public. And the particular types of risks to the public, and kind of antisocial behavior that we see in the park, it's almost completely unique. So if the mayor wants to scrap the Royal Parks Police, he has to have a plan for how those functions are going to be carried out instead.
Yeah, particularly now we're coming towards the rutting season in November, which is a particularly precarious time for the deer and visitors to the park. Is there a case that, you're going to say we do need a police force there to police this? Otherwise, there are going to be more incidents.
He is, because it creates a risk for our residents. That's obviously a matter of severe concern. So I think it's very much about how are we going to replace that functionality. You can't pretend that, it's just a matter of increasing the sort of patrols of the local neighborhood policing. There's a lot more to it, and we need to see much more action. And as I say, members of the public are being harmed by the lack of policing in the parks.
So also lack of policing, closure of Twickenham Police Station. We were talking about, is it actually being closed now, or have you been able to negotiate reduced hours?
I think we're on reduced hours. But yes, it's all about, withdrawing policing services from members of the public, and that doesn't keep people safe. It doesn't give people confidence, and that's a real issue. Some of the kinds of complaints about the police that I get a lot from my constituents. Is really about sort of, not being able to act, not being able to get a response from the police when they really, really need one. So restricting access to the police is a real problem. It makes it very difficult for people to talk about their concerns about, what might be going on in their neighbourhood, or perhaps they've got a concern about a vulnerable neighbour, and they want to have a conversation in confidence. And now they just don't know when where they can go, what times they're going to be open, and this is the sort of thing that is really creating a barrier, I think, between local people and their police force, and that's a real problem.
Yeah, they do ha need to have a relationship with their police force people. They need to see somebody face to face. Otherwise, if that relationship breaks down, it's going to get even worse, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it just creates a lot of frustration. And then often it's the sort of the low-level crimes as well. I mean, certainly that's what we see in Kingston and in Richmond. It's the low level crimes, but it's the sort of thing that can make people feel really unsafe. So that visibility is so important.
Hammersmith Bridge. Royal Albert Bridge is due to open in 2027. They've fixed some issues there. What's happening to Hammersmith?
Yeah, so the government announced a structures fund about a year ago, which was designed precisely to fix some of our our bridges that are in disrepair or some of our major roads. And I had a letter from the Transport Minister saying that Hammersmith Bridge would be a really, really good candidate to apply to the Structures Fund for funding. And I was really pleased to hear that. That was brilliant. Hammersmith and Fulham Council, who have responsibility for the bridge, have applied to the Structures Fund, but only to fix the bridge, just to continue with bikes and pedestrians. And that's really frustrating because what we really wanted is to have, as a minimum, buses and blue lights going back across the bridge. And I think that's really, really important, particularly for my residents in Barnes. But there seems to be just this bit of a conflict between what the Department for Transport say they can use the Structures Fund for and what Hammersmith and Fulham are able to bid for. So I'm supporting the Hammersmith and Fulham bid for the Structures Fund. Because you know that the work that they're asking to be funded needs to be done, otherwise there'll just be complete closure of the bridge. But I'm really disappointed that we're not any further forward, as I say, in getting buses back over the bridge, because I think it's so important for vulnerable constituents, people who are less able to walk, you know, to be able to have that access across the river at that point.
Yeah. So the Structures Fund is a start, isn't it, in the right direction? And let's hope we can go beyond that and get some more funding to get, as you say, the buses and blue lights across the bridge as well.
Absolutely, absolutely, because it really does restrict people's movements around London if they can't access the northern side of the river.
Yeah. Okay, Thames Water.
Well, I mean, this is one of the primary concerns of my constituents about the Teddington Direct River Abstraction Scheme that Thames Water are proposing. Is that you know they're progressing at pace with their plans, but we haven't yet seen a full environmental impact assessment. And the biggest concern that local residents have is about the quality of the water if this scheme is implemented. We're not reassured by some of the things we're hearing about Thames Water. You know their financial difficulties are obviously well reported. We heard last week that Andy Burnham, the new Prime Minister, wants to put them in special administration, and then this week we hear that he's reconsidering it. So, you know, there's so much uncertainty about about the future of Thames Water. But clearly, as we've seen this summer, some urgent decisions need to be made about managing our water supplies in drought conditions. And it just continues to be a massive concern for my residents. We just do not think that the TDRA is the right solution for drought management. And simply because there is still so much uncertainty about the quality of the water if it goes ahead. So Thames Water urgently need to, you know, the Liberal Democrats continue to call for Thames Water to be put into special administration. But what we urgently need is for Thames Water to stop pushing forward with the TDRA plan and come up with something else, because we cannot accept the potential level of decline in water quality that this implies.
And this with the global warming, which seems to be happening at the moment, there's going to be more droughts. The government had huge plans to build, I think, nine new reservoirs to clean up our rivers. Is anything happening in Richmond for that in that area?
I think every local authority and the Mayor of London as well is going to have to think very, very seriously about future water shortages as a result of this summer's drought. And that's certainly something that I'll be pushing for along with my Liberal Democrat colleagues in Parliament. I think this is of the first importance, and I think many residents would support us in that because they will have had their own experiences this year. I mean, for most of us, it will just have been, you know, the deserted wasteland that our gardens and parks have become. But, you know, obviously the consequences could well be more serious if this is something that's going to continue in future summers. So there needs to be drastic action
Yeah.
to think about how we move this ahead.
Thames Water are actually saying on their website they're doing the biggest upgrade to their Victorian pipe system in 150 years. And certainly on Radio Jackie, we're reporting lots of temporary lights due to water maintenance works on roads. Is this just a good publicity stunt by Thames Water, or are they actually now started to really think about what they're doing with their network of pipes?
I don't know. All I do know, and my Richmond residents will tell you, is we had a few, burst water mains over the summer. One in Church Road, in particular. Church Road became a bit of a waterfall for a few hours in the beginning of August, and it's been really, really, and this it still continues to happen. And we had it at the beginning of the summer as well. We had a terrible, terrible sewage leak in the basement of a block of flats in Kingston, right at the beginning of the summer, and residents are still living with the consequences of that. So, if there's an upgrade to the pipe system is long overdue, but there are still far too we are losing so much water still to burst pipes all across London, and it you know so. Great to hear that Thames Water are planning to upgrade everything. But obviously what I would support is them upgrading their pipe system in a planned and properly maintained way. What really creates massive disruption and roadworks and everything are these emergency burst water mains that they need to attend to. But not least because they don't always attend to them as urgently as they might, as we saw in Richmond this summer. And that just creates real problems for residents. So they've got to get to grips with their pipe network, and they need to do it soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll continue to talk about Thames Water. Quickly, can you run through the latest results of the Heathrow Third Runway consultation?
Oh, so the Heathrow Third Runway consultation has been open all summer. So hopefully people, while they have potentially been flying off on their summer holidays, will have been reminded that they need to respond to it. But this is response to back when she was the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves announced that she wanted to open the third runway at Heathrow. And so that process to move towards a new planning framework to allow that to happen is currently out for consultation. I think it closes this week. And I've had lots and lots of emails from my local constituents who've submitted responses. And that's been really encouraging to see. And anyone who's listening who's impacted by the noise of aeroplanes going overhead, particularly at antisocial hours, and who is worried potentially about the environmental impacts of expansion, I would really encourage them to respond to that consultation.
Finally, Southwestern Rail. Have there been any noticeable improvements in your train services?
I have been using the trains less over the summer recess, so probably fewer frustrations than I would normally have. But I mean, when I have been using them, and what I'm hearing from constituents is continued delays, continued disruptions to services. Obviously, the extremely hot weather, and we have seen in a number of parts of the country some really, really serious impacts, which we think are due to the excessive heat and the impact that it has on railway infrastructure. And obviously, that's very serious, and something that obviously we can't take for granted. So, to the extent that that's what's been causing the delays, obviously safety has to be the priority. But it continues to be a frustration for my constituents that you can't rely on the train being on time when you turn up to the station. I mean, most of the stations in my constituency should be turn up and go stations. That's what the Southwestern Railway call them. There should be a train every 15 minutes, and so you don't have to look up before you go to check the train times. There should be one within a reasonable time after you've arrived at the station. But also for lots of people in my constituency, the train is how they is how they get around. So when there are delays and disruptions to services, there often aren't many useful alternatives. So it's really, really important for my constituents that Southwestern Railway continue to focus on providing a service that runs on time. And I continue to liaise with them about the issues that we're experiencing in my constituency. They've got timetable changes, which they have been consulting on over the summer. So again, I would hope that people who have thoughts about timetabling are engaging with that, and they should find more details on the South Western Railway website. So that's a really important piece of work that's ongoing at the moment as well.
And just quickly, have you seen sight of these new Grand Arterial trains that they rolled out with big aplomb at Waterloo Station? Have you seen any signs of them appearing on your network?
Well, we've had arterial trains now on most of the lines that serve my constituency, and I have to say it has made a big difference having trains with air conditioning. So that's a definite thumbs up from me, and particularly when we've had these really really hot days. One of the things I've been really concerned about is hearing the reports from bus drivers about the heat that they're
Yes.
experiencing in their cabs when they are driving their buses, and I really, I'm really concerned about that, and I hope that that's something that the mayor is looking at and considering what action he can take, because there's no doubt that public transport is very vulnerable to these extremely high temperatures we've been experiencing. If this is something that is going to become a new normal, then we need to find ways to adapt to it.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered everything. So, okay, I will let you go. Thank you again, Sarah. Have a
All
good
right.
day. Thank you for
Not
coming.
at all. I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.